You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Okay. No.
You can't hate it.
We don't redo Beat It.
Do it better or do it different. Well, they did it different.
Let's just not redo Beat It.
Turn it up. Don't be afraid of it. It's not terrible. I'm trying to figure out who the band is. They go by Vintage Country or Rap...
It says under artist, if rappers made country, but it also mentions Vintage Country. So I don't know if they're just identifying song.
Yeah, I don't know who's who.
Yeah.
Like, it's the band is either Vintage Country or they're...
Okay.
It's probably AI, and you're just feeding the beast.
Speaking of country, if we can get a little Dixie Chicks just for a second, Traveling Soldier.
Excuse me, the Chicks.
I am on my way out last night, and as always, Carrington is right there with me. You usually leave a couple minutes later, Scott. Carrington and I right there at the door.
Oh, you guys beeline it.
We are in the lobby heading toward the exit door, and I assume they have like 106.5 The Wolf piping through the intercom downstairs. Some dude has decided to sing Traveling Soldier.
That some dude that you're referencing?
I don't even care. I don't even care who it is. I looked at Carrington and I go, why is there some dude singing Traveling Soldier?
What's Traveling Soldier?
Oh, it's one of the greatest war songs of all time. I cried, Scott, will never hold the hand of another guy. Too young when they told her, waiting on the love of a traveling soldier. He goes off to Vietnam, doesn't come back. It's about the heartbreak of this girl. Hmm. Why would a man cover Traveling Soldier?
Because it debuted at number 2 on Billboard.
Who is it?
Cody Johnson.
I don't even hate Cody Johnson. I just think it would be like me singing some song about... nothing I would know about or like. That is a song written from women for a woman talking about, I will never hold the hand of another guy.
Well, why can't he tell the story of a woman?
Because he says, I cried, I will never hold the hand of another guy. Not that you can't feel the loss as a gay man with someone going off to Vietnam, but.
Well, maybe he's not a gay man. Maybe he's a straight man. Holding the hand of a fellow soldier who's just been shot and is dying in his arms.
No, that's not what this story's about at all. Like,
the story song says,
very much is a woman, a girl, 16 or 17, who meets the guy as he's shipping off from that day. Do you think California or Chicago? I've always thought Chicago. Anyway.
What?
They went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. It's one of the greatest songs ever written and recorded.
But throughout the entire song, they're quoting the people that they're talking about. So it wasn't the Chicks singing to their traveling soldier. It was the Chicks telling the story of a woman singing to her traveling soldier.
I don't read it that way.
All right.
And Carrington looked at me and he goes, yeah, that's country. I don't have anything for you on that. Anyway, how are you all? No.
Maybe it's a whole Hollywood thing where they don't have any new ideas. And so.
You think?
There we
you
go.
You think, Dan?
There we
All right,
go.
Now, here's a cover that was originally done by a woman and later done by a man.
Fast Car.
Brilliant. Dare I say, and I'm going to piss some people off right now.
Better than the original?
It's not.
Yes, it is.
It's good.
It's better than the original.
See, you guys can poke fun all you want to about men singing songs that women wrote or once sang, and they'll take that criticism and walk straight into the bank.
Mm-hmm. It's better. I don't care who you are. Luke Combs beats Tracy Chapman.
Okay.
10 Days to Sunday. It's a better version.
That's quite the opinion.
Ah.
Thank you, Dan. Ah. Thank you. We're doing well. Is there a weekend full of football waiting for
us? Did you watch?
Yes, I did.
Ole Miss?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you guys, always for me, if you don't have a dog in the fight, cheer for Ole Miss or Mississippi State just because my mom and dad are down there. It, like, gives me something like, Ole Miss is on. All right, we'll cheer for Ole Miss, even though I know that's further north.
I always root for the underdog.
Miami said, hold my beer.
Game. So now it's this bracket thing. So Miami wins, then they play the winner of two other games tonight, right?
So Indiana plays...
I kind of like this bracket thing.
Who the hell does Indiana have tonight? Oregon, thank you.
I think this makes postseason college football more exciting and the way so they're doing
so
this.
So if it's my understanding, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, if Indiana wins tonight, they play Miami. It's
correct.
Highest seed versus lowest seed, and then the two mid seeds.
These are the games this week are the semifinal games. So last night was one of them. Then the next is tonight.
So Miami is into the championship.
I was all for rooting for Miami.
I guess there is no more deciding. It's whoever wins tonight between Indiana and Oregon. They play in the national title.
So I was all for Miami winning last night. But if I have to be honest, Indiana just secured the championship.
As a casual fan, can I ask, what is the end-all, be-all final game? Because before I realized they were doing this bracketing thing, I saw the Rose Bowl on last week, and I go, oh, my God, is this the championship?
No.
And he had to remind me, no, this is the bracket going toward. So what do they call, what's the final one? It used to be if you won the Rose Bowl or the Orange Bowl.
So I don't know what the bowl is tonight. Sam, will you look that up?
Will do.
Last night was, I believe, the Fiesta Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. There's a bowl tonight that you can win.
Last night was the VRBO Fiesta Bowl.
Right.
Tonight is the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Okay. Peach Bowl. And then there is no bowl per se
for the final.
It's just called the National Championship.
The College Football Championship.
Mm-hmm. Nothing beats.
They've been having a playoff for years, but now they finally expanded it.
They've expanded it.
More teams.
Nothing beats the Duke Mayo Bowl. Nothing.
Boy, have times changed, because the Rose Bowl used to be the creme de la creme.
Yeah.
And now it is a quarterfinal game.
That's not always true, though. It depended on which team in which conference was number one or number two. So, for example, I remember in 1994, I think it was, Nebraska was number one, and they played in the Fiesta Bowl, because the Fiesta Bowl had the number one Big 12 team and the number one from whatever other conference. The Fiesta Bowl became the national title because it had the top two teams in America. The Orange Bowl, every once in a while, would become the number one.
I was going to say, every single SEC fan would disagree with you.
Not in the 1990s, they wouldn't.
Because it used to be, you're right, conference-based. So if you were the number one in the Big 12 or the number one, you mentioned you can't remember the other conference, I can't either. The Rose Bowl or the Orange Bowl was the SEC and
right. And if you were number one and you were playing another number one team from another conference, whatever bowl you met in, whether it was the Rose Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the Orange Bowl, it didn't matter. That became the national title game.
And you would have split winners.
1994 was split between Nebraska and Colorado, if you'll recall.
If you ever need any more evidence about why we are not a sports station nor a sports show, go back and re-listen to the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, I just
that
wanted
was a dumpster fire.
I literally just said, to my detriment, what do they call the finals now? And that's 4 minutes of my life I'm not going to get back.
It's called the College Football Playoff.
Talk about your drilling today?
No, I don't want to talk about that. Which, by the way, have you guys seen there's memes or what videos that are funny going around where women, and I don't like this because I think women can do tools things too, women will with a drill and then they wait and see how long before their partner comes running wanting to know what the heck are you doing with my drill?
Yep.
So
that's not a meme. That's real life.
I know.
Well, it's my drill. What
how
are you doing
to use
with
a
drill?
I really do know how to use a drill. For some reason today
was not the greatest example.
Not get the drill bit out of that three-pronged thing. You usually pull and twist, and
no,
it comes out.
No,
you don't pull. You just twist.
That is false.
Sam, I twisted. I pulled. I heaved. I hoed. And I know. I knew. I wasn't going to call Johnny and ask because he's busy at work.
And he'd say, put it down and
say,
walk away.
Back away. What are you drilling? And so I called Scott.
Oh, wow.
I FaceTimed him and I go, do not make fun of me. I actually need help. I'm just trying to get something done before work here. Help me get this out. And he says,
no.
I go, I know how to remove a drill bit from a DeWalt drill.
I have cut myself trying to pull this bit out of the drill.
It's still in there.
I said, oh, my God.
Didn't you just twist it to unlock Dan, it and pull it out?
What'd you say, Dan?
Just twist it to unlock it.
I know how to remove a drill bit from a drill.
Do you?
Clearly
yes,
not.
Yes, I do. And I'm telling you, I've heaved and hoed and twisted and turned. Anyway.
Where is the bit right now?
So.
It's still in the drill.
It is still in the drill. Mm.
Interesting.
How did you get it in to begin with?
It was just in. It was already in.
Oh, okay.
And I needed to remove it to put the other thing in. Anyway, long story short.
You want to talk about minutes you won't get back.
I cut myself, number one. Then
Amen,
number two,
Amen.
Trying to get the screw in, I go to pull it out.
Wait, I thought we were drilling
and
holes.
It is 300 degrees from the torque, from the friction.
She used the drill bit.
I burned my finger.
No.
Wait.
Stop. Everybody stop. She used the drill bit to try to drill a screw into a wall.
I couldn't get the other one out. So I thought, well, I'll just poke this thing in there and see what happens.
Wait.
It didn't work. Anyway.
Dan.
Long story short, Scott was not able to help. And we will.
No.
The drill bit is just for the hole.
Yeah.
I was able to help. I told you to turn that thing counterclockwise.
Which I did.
Which would loosen up the drill bit. And for whatever reason, your drill bit would not come out even when you loosened it up.
Dan, the problem is you're confused because they're not even using the right terminology.
Whatever. I know that one is to make the hole and one is to screw it in. I know that.
That is true. You were talking about a Phillips head.
I know how it works.
Because you were using sheetrock screws to hang something in wood.
Well, I did do that.
Oh.
Because I stripped the other screws with the damn drill thing.
She was using a bit to try to screw screws into the wall.
I so I did end up telling him, Sam, I go, hey, FYI, tools are out. I did need the drill today. And he just replied, and how'd that work out for you?
And that is why when some of us hear the drill going off,
yes!
We run into the next room.
I cut my left hand. I burned my right hand, took the dog on a walk, and came into work.
See, Mary Beth will be like, hey, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then I hear,
that's exactly right. Sometimes you just want to stick something on the wall, Sam. I don't need a level. I don't need one of those beep, beep, beep things.
Have you tried thumbtacks?
913-586-7798, 586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39 Championship Barbecue Pit to Plate. Go to Q39KC.com.
I twisted. I pulled. I heaved. I hoed. I was saying to Scott off the air, we are not going to make this a topic because there's not a whole lot new to report. But Nick Reiner, the son of Robin Michelle Reiner, reportedly does not understand why he is in custody.
Sure he doesn't.
There are reports today that he understands his mom and dad are dead, that he understands he killed them, but does not understand why he's behind bars and believes there is some conspiracy involved that has led to his incarceration. And I said to Scott during the break, what do you do with somebody like that?
You send them to prison for the rest of
their
life.
Well, I think you have to send them to a lockdown mental facility the rest of their life until they're able to take part in their trial. He is delusional, capital D. You can't let him out. He slaughtered his mother and father, but you can't take him to trial either.
Why?
He's delusional. Like,
or is he faking it?
It's psychosis.
It's psychosis, Scott.
It's drug-induced psychosis.
Yes,
and if he was as strung out as everybody is saying that he was, I mean, to the point that you're getting in a fight with your parents at a highfalutin, you know, Hollywood Christmas party.
Coming to O'Brien's party.
I mentioned this right after it happened. I bet you he woke up in jail thinking to himself,
what am I doing here?
How did I get here?
Is it possible, Sam, with drug-induced psychosis? Okay, like you just said, your brain is so fried. You are so far gone. And yes, there's a mental illness component. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia, but I think that's because of the drugs.
Yes.
That you don't really understand what has happened after something horrible like that happens. In a way that, like, if you're a normal person, you are not drug-induced psychosis. But you go out, Scott, and let's say you just go on a bender. You can't walk, you can't talk, you don't even know your own name, and you murder someone.
Yes, it's possible.
The next day, because you're not, there's no psychosis there. You were just blitzed out of your gourd. You would wake up and have a horrifying realization. Oh my God, what have I done? He doesn't have that.
Actually, initially you would not. That's part of blacking out. So effectively what you're doing when you're taking drugs is you are recalibrating your neuro pathways. So when we're sober, as we learn things, as we take in information and that alters our perception of any given moment, we are building neuro pathways. When you take a drug, you are crisscrossing some of those neuro pathways. With something like alcohol, if you get enough alcohol in your system, it gets to a point where you are literally shutting off those neuro pathways. So when you
get the numbing effect of alcohol,
when you get drunk enough, you genuinely do have zero recollection. That's why you hear all the stories about people saying like, oh, man, I had to go to my friends to try to figure out what happened last night. I woke up with bruises on my leg, couldn't figure out why.
Even if there was a horrible crime, Sam, you then wouldn't 1 or 2 days later still say, well, I'm not sure why I'm in jail. This must be some conspiracy.
You recover a lot quicker unless you were drunk for 40 years.
Listen to this. It says his fatal mental spiral occurred a month before the murders when doctors changed his meds he was taking for schizoaffective disorder, a severe mental illness that causes delusions, hallucinations, and mania. The meds made him increasingly dangerous and erratic. 1 month prior. If he was going through that and they have access to the best facilities, the best health care, the best meds,
he'd been to rehab 17 times.
What does that mean? When you're looking out your window and you see the homeless guy talking to a light pole, you start to see where it's almost impossible for someone without resources to even attempt to get better.
But he had resources.
It didn't matter. That's what I'm saying.
Because he didn't want to change.
To the guy out on the street talking to the light pole, get a job. Well, okay. If that person is suffering from drug-induced psychosis, how do you come back from that?
Please don't take this as defending Nick Reiner in any way, but there's a solid chance that he did so many drugs at such a young age that he has been in this level of psychosis for a very long time, quite literally living in a different reality. When he looks through his eyeballs, he sees the world completely differently than you and I.
So there is a term when it comes to alcohol. I don't know that it fits necessarily, but it's called wet brain. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Same thing.
Look up wet brain. It is, you have drank so much alcohol that your brain is soaked. Even when you're sober.
It's still soaked.
Yeah. Where you slur your words, you're totally sober. You haven't had a drink in years, but you have wet brain. And you slur your words, you can't keep a cohesive thought. Your brain is just fried.
Yeah.
Because you drank so much alcohol, you have wet brain.
Well, it even happens with hangovers. I mean, say you get a good night's sleep on a Sunday night after you were hungover all day Sunday. You wake up Monday and you have to give a presentation to your entire company. Mm-hmm. You will trip over your words. You will slur every once in a while.
That's not wet brain. That's just a hangover. But wet brain is a permanent condition.
Right. You're talking about once you reach the point of no return.
Exactly what I'm saying. You have drank so much alcohol. You have fried so many brain cells. Your brain is just... And there's no going back. There is no going back from wet brain.
Huh.
I had a buddy of mine who's a recovering alcoholic, and he said what scared him the most was the fear that someday he would end up with wet brain. I know one person who has it, and it is awful. I mean, this guy is...
Like, on full-time disability awful? Like, you can't work?
He has to.
Obviously a Hollywood character in fiction, but think of Jack Sparrow.
Okay.
A character like that. Except he was actually drunk.
Like, almost looks drunk when he's not.
Yes.
Not sturdy on your feet.
Like, if you were to talk to somebody with wet brain, okay... You would think they were drunk.
Yeah.
But they're not. They've been sober for years. I mean, it is bad.
And what do you do in this situation? I mean, he is not mentally fit to stand trial and probably won't be. It's the same situation with the guy out of Kansas City. We've been waiting 7 years for a trial now.
Oh, that's right. The dog path, dog walker behind
alleged serial killer.
Seven people. Yep.
One of the things we wanted to talk about today, as horrifying as the headline is it possible with all of the authorities today and the mayor and the police saying that most crime statistics are down in Kansas City, and not just down
nationwide,
significantly down here. Because there have been other times everything's down nationwide and there's Kansas City redlining again, right?
Right.
So they released some of the stats. Everything is looking down, 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 down.
Good.
Is it possible that it's one or two or three really bad actors over the years who were perpetuating most of that crime? And now that they are prosecuting and putting away shooters of all kinds, not just I shot you, I killed you, but I shot you, I missed, that some of those people have been taken off the streets, and then it goes to flow from there that crime is down.
It's possible.
There is a story in the stack, and I think Fox 4 had it last night, where some idiot that shot and killed someone and is
a 2022 fatal shooting. He was
is he convicted?
He's 19 now. He has not been convicted yet. He is on trial.
So he is going on trial for killing this person case back in 2022.
He was 16 at the time.
He then brags he has shot 400 people.
So he claims.
Now, I have been screaming from the rooftops for a long time, Scott. If they would just put away as attempted murder all of the people who shoot and miss, and I mean road rage shooters, lock them up and put them away, would the homicides not go down? And I mean go way down.
Hmm.
Most random people don't wake up one day and shoot and kill somebody. It's usually the same bad actors, and police will tell you who they are.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
So this was reporting in the last couple of weeks at the end of 2025. Everyone gives their annual report. What's a snapshot of our city look like this past year? Homicides and shootings are down in Kansas City, according to police. But the one that caught my eye, and this is a big one, non-fatal shootings were down more than 30% in 2025. Homicides dropped roughly 5%. We've got a long way to go with homicides. But when non-fatal shootings drop, does it not flow right from there that the homicides will drop too? Because the shooters, it's not all the same guy, but it's not just random either. There is a group in every city. There is a network of bad actors doing this. And if you put them away when they don't kill some, but one, but try to, would homicides not fall?
Story here from Fox 4, a 19-year-old Kansas City, Kansas man who is charged in connection with a 2022 deadly shooting in Kansas City's downtown Loop claims to have shot roughly 400 people before he was arrested for the crime. Jackson County Prosecutor Melissa Johnson announcing yesterday that Damon Benson is charged with one count of second-degree murder, two counts of armed criminal action, one count of unlawful use of a weapon, resulting in death or injury. According to court records, on October 21st, this is when the fatal shooting occurred, Kansas City police officers responded to a shooting near I-35 and I-70 in the downtown Loop. Based on several investigative leads, detectives determined the driver of a Dodge Charger began speeding and chasing a Toyota, cut him off. Okay. Later, when speaking to detectives, Benson told detectives he did not remember having any involvement in the 2022 deadly shooting. In an effort to help him recall the shooting, detectives asked Benson how many people he had shot in his life, for which he replied, quote, roughly like my whole life, like 400 people.
How old is he?
19.
He was 16 at the time of the questioning. He was arrested when he was 16.
Is it possible that the magic solution that has evaded this town for so many years is as simple as getting people like that off the streets?
Is he telling the truth?
Let's say he's not. Let's say it's 100, Scott.
Let's say he's just bragging.
That is the exact type of offender that needs to go away, not for a little while, not
for the rest
not
of his
for
life.
A misdemeanor, aggravated assault, like what? Nothing like that. Go away and watch the homicide rate drop. It will plummet if you start putting those actors away.
And by the way, this has been playing out in family court for about 3 years now. The only reason we now get the information is because he was certified as an adult on Wednesday.
Good.
Now, I wonder, you know, everybody can point fingers wherever they want to. We always talk about how a police chief can't fix the problem single-handedly.
Agreed.
However, we did bring in a new prosecutor who has been standing from the rooftops and screaming, "You're not getting away with it. You commit any crime whatsoever." It's kind of like the Eric Zond motto. Zond don't play, you going away. Well, Melissa Johnson saying, "Johnson don't play, you going away." And even if there isn't more, even if the prosecution rate hasn't increased, and I'm not saying it hasn't, I haven't looked into it, but is the simple act of standing on the soapbox and shouting to all the masses, "I'm not messing around," enough to get people to be like, "Yeah, well, maybe I probably shouldn't."
Well, dare I say, let me ask this question, because I know it's being asked in cars around the city that are listening to this show right now. Is Melissa Johnson's approach antithetical to that of Jean Peters Baker, and who is a friend of the program? I like her. I consider her a friendly acquaintance. I wouldn't say she's a friend.
I don't know how the different offices operated,
but,
Scott.
But does this give credence to all of those who screamed bloody murder? Jean Peters Baker was too soft on crime, and Melissa Johnson is the right answer to this problem. I'm just asking.
That's probably too broad, but I'll tell you this. She has an open invitation. We would love to have Melissa Johnson on this show. I would love, and I'm sure other cities have done this. My God, look at Boston. Mm-hmm. Boston ended the year with a shockingly lower number of homicides. Like the last few years, that's been the trend there.
I'm looking it up right now.
And it was a six-year approach. All hands on deck, all community members on deck, approach to stopping violent crime. They went from hundreds of homicides every year to, what was it, Scott, 20?
31.
31 last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
31. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, they used to have numbers as bad as ours.
Mm-hmm. Worse. A much bigger city.
So, you know, we peaked at, what, a couple years ago. It was horrible.
192.
92. Mm-hmm. They somehow have managed to get, in Boston, to get that number to 35. Still 35 too many.
31.
Unbelievable.
Now, we also can't ignore the fact that they've got 2,100 badged police officers in Boston, and we just hit 1,100 in Kansas City, and we need at least 14.
No, wait a minute. You said 2,100 for Boston?
Oh, sorry. I believe it's 2,100.
Well, now hang on for a second then. Because Boston has...
Does that run consistent with population?
No. Their city proper population is 673,000.
Yeah.
We are 453,000, I think, city proper. They've got better police numbers than we do.
I also have to think that the task force that was set up by the new prosecutor's office has been helping a lot as well, because they have been sitting down and combing through cases looking for similarities, because a big part of the problem that you mentioned, Dana, is that these bad actors will commit a violent crime. They'll come in and there's no connection to their previous crimes, because maybe they didn't get caught for it. Maybe there was a suspect that could have been this individual,
yeah,
but they don't take the time to sit down and comb through the file to see if there's enough to say, "Hey, were you the one that did this too?" Where with this new task force, that's exactly what they're doing. So somebody commits a non-fatal shooting and they're like, "Well, wait a minute, you actually match the exact description of 14 right. other non-fatal shootings," and they mm-hmm. pin all of them on them.
By the way, Boston's homicides last year, 31, that is up the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
24.
Correct.
24.
Like the
it's unbelievable.
The headline in one article that I just saw is Boston homicides up 36% in 2025.
Yeah, I would not calculate it that way.
How about Boston homicides still at record low? But somebody has an agenda to push.
As of June of 2024. They had 14. They had as of June of 2024, Scott, they had 4. In 6 months. Mm-hmm. They had 4 in 6 months. Mm-hmm. I really do think every police department in America needs to fly to Boston quietly, get a big old conference room, and figure out how to mimic exactly what they have done there.
So they had 24 in 2024. And one life lost is one too many.
Absolutely.
We agree on that. They had 24 homicides in 2024. So 2 a month. They had 31 in 2025. In 2020 even, which was a horribly violent year in America despite COVID.
Yeah.
They only had 54 murders. Sam, would you look up what the homicide rate in Kansas City, Missouri was in 2020, which was one of the most violent years in recent American history?
Boston had 54?
54 in 2020.
That and remember, correct. They said it took 6 years to get to where they are now. We don't even know if that's back when the initiative had... Where in was that the first year of the initiative, the ground zero of the initiative?
2020 was the record-breaking year, and I misspoke. I said 192. I apologize. It was 182.
182.
That was the record-breaking year.
In 2020.
Yep.
And Boston had 54.
By the way, if you include the metro, it's bad.
How bad?
269.
That year, if you include all of it.
In 2020, yeah. If every police chief in America is not flying to Boston today, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever it is, they have figured it out. Now, again, to repeat myself, one murder is one murder too many. But in a city of 650,000 people proper, and you only had 31 murders last year, dare I say, that's pretty good.
What do you mean? That's dang good.
I don't want to say good. It is as violent as American can be, as we are so flush with illegal guns on the streets, mm-hmm. with no...
And bad actors.
And no way out of that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Boston isn't any different. Like, that's where those numbers just... My jaw just drops when I see them.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39 Championship Barbecue, Pit to Plate. Go to Q39KC.com. A 20-year-old Canadian lit up social media after she won the lottery in the summer of 2025. And chose to accept her winnings in an annuity.
No way.
Rather than the lump sum. It has lit up social media.
Rare annuity option. Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking a tax-free lump sum of $1 million.
What do you mean tax-free lump sum?
Well, apparently in Canada, the lottery is tax-free.
Hell.
Brenda Vega of Quebec chose to receive $1,000 a week for the rest of her life. Her decision contrasts with what the vast majority of lottery winners choose, and it drew criticism. Everyone seemed to have an opinion. The fierce debate highlights once again the age-old question of whether lottery winners should take the lump sum or an annuity, and how even to make that decision can be controversial.
Okay.
I'm all annuity all the way, baby.
You're also very young.
Yeah, if you do it correctly and you invest and you don't dramatically change your lifestyle right up front— the annuity makes sense, right? You're not going to be able to run off and go on a six-month vacation to Europe doing it that way.
Oh, hell, you can't.
However, I always worry that with that option here, when you die, those payments stop.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So not that I think someone from, you know, gambling places would jump out from a bush and try to kill me, but you know, they would probably prefer not to pay that out $1,000 a week every week for the rest of your life. I would be looking over my shoulder.
Now, keep in mind, this is a Canadian. But in the United States, 93% of lottery winners take the lump sum. Now, keep in mind, we're not just talking about, you know, the billion-dollar winners. We're also talking about million-dollar winners.
Let's say it's $10 million. Let's make this easy. Okay. If you did the annuity, do they spread it out? Like, is it only $1,000 a week, and then they do the math and spread it out, like, assuming you're going to live to age 80? Like, how do they even figure out how much they're going to give you? If you're 50 years old...
Well, then your monthly annuity would be much higher than if you were 20 years old.
Well, you would think.
But...
The annuity in the United States, anyway, is 30 years.
Okay.
See, I feel like taking the lump sum is the emotional decision. Until or unless you reach a certain age where you're fairly confident you're not going to make it the next 30 years.
The lump sum is the equivalent of buying something on Amazon.
Yeah.
The annuity is waiting and thinking and researching and then physically driving somewhere and making that purchase.
The fiscally responsible decision would be to take the annuity, to keep your job, to not go out and buy the big flashy things. People want the lump sum because they're like, oh my God, I just won the lottery. I'm going to be driving a Corvette tomorrow, baby.
And over the long term, with the annuity, you get more of the money you won than if you had taken the lump sum.
True. See, if I won the lottery tomorrow, even if it was billions of dollars, I would take the annuity. I would still show up here on Monday. And
all right, stop. Stop.
I would.
No. If you won $1 billion on the lottery, and you took the annuity, which would mean millions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
You would still show up for work on Monday.
Yep. And
you're a liar.
I'm not.
You're nuts. I'm telling you right now, Scott and I would be gone.
I would invest every single penny until it got to a point where I could go and live that lavish lifestyle
for
the rest of my life.
That would literally take 2 years.
Because
You'll see me, Sam, for 2 more years,
and
I'm gone.
You have Mary Beth, and I would wrap you in bubble tape, and you would never be able to leave the house. Mm-hmm. Because if, God forbid, something happened to you. Mm-hmm.
I do believe that those rules have changed, by the way. You can pass the annuity to one person.
Oh. Would you not also worry if you had an annuity and let's say you were in a relationship that, you know, you like the person you're with, but you're not sure they're the only one? Would you not be worried that you end up with arsenic in your soup?
If you do take, Sam, you're right. If you do take the annuity, if the winner, this is from the USA Today. If the winner gets hit by a bus.
Use my example.
It's true the winner may have only enjoyed a fraction of the winnings. However, the winner can leave the missed annuity to heirs.
Okay.
Now,
that did not used to be the case.
You would notice a dramatic personality change in me because my level of care would dwindle very quickly knowing that I'm getting millions of dollars every single year.
What do you mean your level of care?
I'd be free and breezy. I'm a pretty high and tight guy. I'd be free and breezy every day.
Okay. All right. A Minnesota woman has died in the U.S. Virgin Islands after a shark ripped her arm off on Thursday.
Oh, my God. I saw this.
First responders on the island of St. Croix were called at roughly 4:28 yesterday afternoon with reports of, quote, a female who was suspected to be bitten by a shark. Firefighters confirmed that the female lost an arm during the attack, later succumbed to her injuries. Identified as 56-year-old Arlene Lillis of Lake Detroit in Minnesota, near the border with North Dakota.
Did you see a couple weeks ago, a woman was swimming, I think she was like a triathlete, and I want to say it was off the coast of California. She was wearing something called a shark track or shark tracker on her ankle. People who swim in the ocean do this, and it's supposed to emit some, you know, beam that will keep the sharks at bay.
Hmm.
Attacked, eaten, and killed by a shark wearing the shark monitor.
I'll tell you this. You know, we make a voyage down to Cancun at least once a year, maybe twice if we're lucky. I used to be one of these adventurous guys. No, hear me out. I used to be one of these adventurous guys who would go out as far as I could before the lifeguard gave me a whistle and said, let's bring it on back, buddy. Those days are over.
Knee high? Will you go knee high?
I'll go waist high.
Okay. I've got to be able to see.
I want to be water in Cancun. You know this. It's pretty clear.
I'm not going out to my neck anymore.
The one thing you can't find in the water in Cancun is your son's phone when he threw it into the water,
right?
So that he couldn't be tracked for the rest of the week.
Absolutely.
Or his two pairs of shoes.
Sure, that's why he did it. I just think he misplaced it.
Really?
After a night of revelry,
Dana.
Never going back, Scott. Dana, not happening.
You'll never go back to Cancun?
Never.
That's my happy place.
My girlfriends and I were talking about this last night. The earth is a large, glorious place.
Yes, one of
my very best friends just got back from Taiwan. They went to an elephant sanctuary. She said it was the most peaceful, stunning, beautiful. She said the people are the most beautiful people you have ever met. She said I would go back to Taiwan tomorrow.
Until the Chinese invade.
I'm just saying. She loved it. I had another girlfriend really? Say she'd go back to London. Like, stop peeing on my good stories. There's just so many other places. And I don't need to go back down to Mexico ever again if I need to find a beach.
See, the really? Only time that I've really swam in the ocean was in the Pacific Ocean. And the water's so cold that there isn't fear of that, right?
Oh, Sam, once you and Mary Beth get established, you have got to go down to Cancun. You will go. Don't shrug me.
I mean, it's okay.
It's beautiful. There are so many other places.
Oh my God!
In the world, I would like to go see. You want to go see Australia?
Hawaii? I have been to Hawaii.
Bora Bora.
Have you been to Bora Bora?
No, Carrie has. You know what they call it there?
Bora Bora.
Boring, because all you do is lay there for 2 weeks. It's glorious.
I will say the most beautiful beach I've ever been at, the water was so clear, it was crystal clear, was Turks and Caicos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you can see the sharks coming.
They have a reef that's like 2 miles off coast. There are no sharks in Turks and Caicos. The water's too shallow. News with that guy, Dan Weinbaum, coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.